Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As COVID-19 numbers continue to rise in South Dakota, the coronavirus crisis feels deeply personal. Anxiety levels are high, and self-care is extremely important as coping with new ways of doing things isn't always easy. Dr. Amelia Flint is Associate Professor of Psychology at Black Hills State University, and she's returning today with a sort of a mental health check-in and tips about how to go on with this new way of living. Amelia, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me back, Lori.
I feel like I invite you here for, or we invite you here for ourselves as much as for our listeners, because I'm really looking forward to talking to you.
Yeah, trust me. When I speak this out too, I think, oh, I better put this into practice.
Right. You go back and listen to your own conversation later and say, oh, that's right. I do know how to do this. Why is that so hard? Because I think everybody's having the same, you know, you can be in a good place for, you know, 5 minutes and then say, oh, okay, I've got it figured out. And then 5 minutes later, you're kind of unraveling a little bit. Why is it so hard to stick with some that kind of awareness that we have to be reminded so often how to deal with this?
You're absolutely right, Lori. It does sometimes feel like a moving target, right? Once you first get it down and then moving on to the next thing and suddenly the target has moved or you're feeling different and 5 minutes later it's a different situation, to be sure. I think the thing to keep in mind is that that is just going to be the reality for at least a few more weeks, if not months here. And so while that's hard to accept, acknowledging that to be true really kind of helps take the pressure off of needing to get it right or needing to feel a certain way at a certain time, and really just taking those deep breaths and saying, yes, what I am feeling right now is true for me in this moment. And it doesn't have to be true 5 minutes from now. And that whatever I'm feeling 5 minutes from now will also then be a passing thought or a passing experience. Boy, that to me at least kind of sits well in my soul. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Takes the pressure off, at least temporarily.
What do you know about what we will remember and what our children will remember? And let me tell you what I'm trying to get at there. My daughter's 19 now, and just having her here home from college, you know, she's doing the dishes, she's helping, you know, I'm watching movies with her. She's just a godsend for me right now. If she had been 5 or 6 or 3 or an infant, some of the challenges my parent friends are having are so extreme. From my perspective, when I look about hard times that we had when she was growing up, she doesn't remember. She remembers, or at least she tells me, she remembers these good things. She has forgotten some of the stressful times. What do you know about what kids remember that might help parents realize that not everything is at stake if you have a mommy meltdown?
Right, yeah. So what we do know is that kids start forming their earliest memories right around age 4 or age 5. So I hope that that does take the pressure off of the parents of tiny humans, right? Mommy meltdowns are okay, and that the kiddo isn't necessarily going to remember that. As well, children tend towards positivity. They are a lot more resilient than we give them credit for. So their ability to bounce back is pretty tremendous. Thus, what we do see as they grow up, they're going to remember more of the positive memories than the bad ones. And so I hope that that gives people some hope out there, too. And in particular, right now, as you know, I'm also a clinical psychologist, and I do treat some teenagers. These teenagers right now, as they talk about their experience with COVID-19, they're actually saying they enjoy their time with their mom and their dad. One kiddo on Zoom the other day, his eyes got so wide, and he's like, I love this time. We're playing ping pong, Scrabble, yeah. These things I'd never heard of before. It's so cool.
My daughter has this great memory of the funeral after my father died, which was, you know, 5-6 years ago. And what she remembers is that we were all together. and that we had time to sit and spend the weekend together. And the goofy things that me and my siblings kind of messed up during the ceremony or the funeral itself, the way we tripped over each other. She just thinks that that's some of her great memories are this warmth, and she loved seeing you in the hospital. So you might just really be surprised. And On Point was doing a fascinating hour earlier. I don't know if you heard it or not, Amelia, but they were talking about the pressure that is on this generation of kids of all ages, really, but the activities and the grades and the performance and the getting into college. And someone said, this is this generation's chance to breathe. That is a kind of expansive question for all of us right now. Certainly, you're not breathing very well if you lost your job. However, there are moments where everything has slowed down and we look at one another and we realize how much we love one another. Talk a little bit about finding some of those spaces of expansion, no matter how difficult your situation is right now.
Just treasure those moments, right? Whether it's that laughter from your child, that smile from a stranger, somebody leaving groceries on your doorstep, or the opportunity to leave groceries for somebody else. Take advantage of those smaller moments and treasure them, to be sure. You're absolutely right when you talk about this younger generation being in the age of pressure, and the pressure is off. As you know, I teach college students, and a lot of those students have sent emails with question after question after question at first. And then the minute that they got the chance to kind of sit back and relax a little bit, they recognize the bigger picture, right? It's not about what assignment is due when. And I did my best to communicate to them, look, we're flexible right now. I just want to work with you to get through the semester. But it's about recognizing, okay, that feels a lot better now that I can hear that from my instructor, and I can sit back and actually take a few deep breaths and enjoy my family, or not experience as much pressure to do it right or to do it right now.
Yeah. Talk about unplugging, because we talked about this before, and that's a real challenge for anybody who is having just a hard time staying away from the news, but also for people who are really in it. And as we in Minnehaha County face these spike in cases and these continued increase in numbers, those healthcare providers are going to work incredibly long hours. The journalists are working incredibly long hours. And what let's talk a little bit about tips for what does it look like to unplug when you have to stay somewhat connected with the world outside your door.
Yes, that is an outstanding and so important question. Keep in mind that it's not an all or none thing. Either I have to have it on or it's off, right? The idea behind that is that this has been kind of exposed to us now for at least a month, if not longer, right? And so we didn't really become good at thinking or worrying about the virus overnight. We got sort of practiced at it, right? So it's kind of an unrealistic expectation to think that you can just completely unplug right away. But you get practiced at that, right? And so it might mean truly shutting off all media, making it as quiet as you possibly can for 5 seconds the first time. And that was 5 seconds more than you've ever had before in this last month, right? And then it becomes 10, and then it becomes a minute. And suddenly you realize, okay, the world is still going. I am healthy. I'm able to help others. And I do need this unplugging time. And so, generally speaking, I know we've spoken about this before, but yeah, I would like to say maybe try to get yourself up to about a half an hour in the morning and a half an hour in the evening where it is that unplugging time. Shutting off the TV, putting on some calming music, listening to your children's laughter, staying in the moment with your family. Savoring that family meal, oh, the taste of that, T-bone steak or whatever's for dinner that night. Oh, so important to do, and especially right now. And then, of course, turn the TV back on to stay informed as you need to.
Yeah, and you mentioned last time really noticing how those emotions sort of feel in your body, and that was something I really took to heart because you have those moments when you're relaxed and feeling great, and then you check the news on your phone, and I can just feel my throat constrict, and it brings to home the impact it has long term, chronic stress, chronic worry, chronic anxiety. It must be doing something to you physically, and once you feel those physical sensations, it's easier to recognize what you're really going through. Talk a little bit again for people who didn't hear us last time about paying attention to the physical sensations that you feel during this time and kind of deciding how to interrupt that tension. What do you do when, you know, you have shortness of breath, not because you're sick, but because you're panicked?
Right. Yeah. And that's just it. You summarized that really quite well. Those first few signs can be anything from your stomach feeling queasy, that's short of breath, maybe pressure on your chest, sweaty palms, or your mind feels like it's going 90 miles a minute, spinning outside of your control. So whatever that first sign is, that is the point at which you say, okay, I do have to close my laptop for just a second here. I do need to kind of find my belly button and breathe from my diaphragm, that long, slow breath in, and then that long, slow breath out. And even as I said that, you know, I was kind of modeling a slower language myself. That really does help, because the person who is in panic or is highly anxious, you see that their speech pattern really does speed up. And so even being around that person, you notice that you match their speech patterns, which is ineffective for you. And what you should be doing is then slowing your own speech patterns down. Doing these things will help then calm your body back to a point where you can, you know, open your laptop back up again or reconnect with media.
Yeah. Amelia Flint, you are helping all of us traverse this time. And I want to say thank you and just close with some thoughts on it's okay to be happy, too, during this time, even if you have lost your job. It's okay to experience those moments of happiness. You don't have to feel guilty about that. Just hold on to them.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself, Lori. Thank you so much for having me on.